Chapter 15. I didn't expect this from you, Mr. Eglanton, said the lady, and began to sob. And after what's happened, I didn't expect a visit from you, ma'am. I thought Mrs. Captain Walker was too great a dame to visit poor Archibald Eglanton, though some of the first men in the country do visit him. Is there anything in which I can oblige you, ma'am? Oh, heavens! Cried the poor woman. Have I no friend left? I never thought that you two would have deserted me, Mr. Archibald. The Archibald, pronounced in the old way, had evidently an effect on the perfumer. He winced and looked at her very eagerly for a moment. What can I do for you, ma'am? At last said he. What is this bill against Mr. Walker, for which he is now in prison? Perfumer he supplied for 5 years. That man used more airbrushes than any duke in the land, and as for eau de cologne, he must have bathed himself in it. He h-ordered me about like a lord. He never paid me 1 shilling. He stabbed me in my most vital part, but never mind that. And I said I would be revenged, and I am. The perfumer was quite in a rage again by this time, and wiped his fat face with his pocket handkerchief, and glared upon Mrs. Walker with a most determined air. Revenged on whom? Archibald, Mr. Eglanton, revenged on me, on the poor woman whom you made miserable. You would not have done so once. Ha! And a precious way you treated me once, said Eglanton. Don't talk to me, ma'am, of once. Bury the recollection of once forever. I thought my ear would have broke once, but no. Ears are made of sterner stuff. I didn't die, as I thought I should. I stood it and I lived to see the woman who despised me at my feet. Oh, Archibald, was all the lady could say, and she fell to sobbing again. It was perhaps her best argument with the perfumer. Oh, Archibald, indeed. Continued he, beginning to swell, don't call me Archibald, Morgina. Think what a position you might have held if you chose. When you might have called me Archibald. Now it's no use, added he, with harrowing pathos, but, though I've been wronged, I can't bear to see women in tears tell me what I can do. Dear good Mr. Eglanton, send to your lawyers and stop this horrid prosecution. Take Mr. Walker's acknowledgement for the debt. If he is free, he is sure to have a very large sum of money in a few days, and will pay you all. Do not ruin him, do not ruin me by persisting now. Be the old kind Eglanton you were. Eglanton took a hand, which Morgina did not refuse. He thought about old times. He had known her since childhood almost. As a girl he dandled her on his knee at the Idneys. As a woman he had adored her, his heart was melted. He did pay me in a sort of way, reasoned the perfumer with himself. These bonds, though they are not worth much, I took them for better or for worse, and I can't bear to see her crying, and to trample on a woman in distress. Morgina, he added, in a loud cheerful voice, cheer up. I'll give you a release for your husband. I will be the old kind Eglanton I was. Be the old kind jackass you vash. Here roared a voice that made Mr. Eglanton start. Why, that an old fat fool you are, Eglanton, to give up our just debts, because a woman comes sniveling and crying to you, and such a woman too, exclaimed Mr. Mazarus, for his was the voice. Such a woman, sir? Cried the senior partner. Yes, such a woman. Why, didn't she jilt you herself? Hasn't she been trying the same game with Borowski, and are you so green as to give up £150, because she takes a fancy to come whimpering here? I won't, I can tell you. The money's as much mine as it is yours, and I'll have it or keep Walker's body, that's what I will. At the presence of his partner, the timid good genius of Eglanton, which had prompted him to mercy and kindness, at once outspread its frightened wings and flew away. You see how it is, Mrs. W., said he, looking down. It's an affair of business. In all these here affairs of business, Mr. Mazarus is the managing man. Ain't you, Mr. Mazarus? A pretty business it would be if I wasn't, replied Mazarus, doggedly. Oh, ma'am, says he, I'll tell you that I do. I take 50%. Not a farthing less, give me that. And out your husband goes. Oh, sir, Howard will pay you in a week. Well, then, let him stop at my Uncle Bendigo's for a week, and come out then, he's very comfortable there, said Shylock with a grin. Hadn't you better go to the shop, Mr. Eglanton, continued he, and look after your business? Mrs. Walker can't want you to listen to her all day. Eglanton was glad of the excuse, and slunk out of the studio, not into the shop, but into his parlor, where he drank off a great glass of maraschino, and sat blushing and exceedingly agitated, until Mazras came to tell him that Mrs. W. was gone, and wouldn't trouble him any more. But although he drank several more glasses of maraschino, and went to the play that night, and to the cider cellars afterwards, neither the liquor, nor the play, nor the delightful comic songs at the cellars, could drive Mrs. Walker out of his head, and the memory of old times, and the image of her pale weeping face. Morgina tottered out of the shop, scarcely heeding the voice of Mr. Mazras, who said, I'll take 40%, and went back to his duty cursing himself for a soft-hearted fool for giving up so much of his rights to a puling woman. Morgina, I say, tottered out of the shop, and went up Conduit Street, weeping, weeping with all her eyes. She was quite faint, for as he had taken nothing that morning, but the glass of water which the pastry cook in the Strand had given her, and was forced to take hold of the railings of a house for support just as a little gentleman with a yellow handkerchief under his arm was issuing from the door. Good heavens, Mrs. Walker, said the gentleman. It was no other than Mr. Woolsey, who was going forth to try a body coat for a customer. Are you ill? What's the matter? For God's sake, come in. And he took her arm under his, and led her into his back parlor, and seated her, and had some wine and water before her in 1 minute, before as he had said one single word regarding herself. As soon as she was somewhat recovered, and with the interruption of a thousand sobs, the poor thing told as well as she could her little story. Mr. Eglanton had arrested Mr. Walker. As he had been trying to guy in time for him, Eglanton had refused. The hard-hearted, cowardly brute to refuse her anything, said loyal Mr. Woolsey. Why, dear, says he, I've no reason to love your husband, and I know too much about him to respect him, but I love and respect you, and will spend my last shilling to serve you. At which Morgina could only take his hand, and cry a great deal more than ever. She said Mr. Walker would have a great deal of money in a week, that he was the best of husbands, and she was sure Mr. Woolsey would think better of him when he knew him, that Mr. Eglanton's bill was £150, but that Mr. Mazras would take 40%. If Mr. Woolsey could say how much that was. I'll pay £1,000 to do you good, said Mr. Woolsey, bouncing up. Stay here for 10 minutes, my dear, until my return, and all shall be right, as you will see. He was back in 10 minutes, and had called a cab from the stand opposite all the coachmen there had seen, and commented on Mrs. Walker's weebigin looks, and they were off for Cursitor Street in a moment. Hale settle the whole debt for £20, said he, and showed an order to that effect from Mr. Mazras to Mr. Bendigo, empowering the latter to release Walker on receiving Mr. Woolsey's acknowledgement for the above sum. There's no use paying it, said Mr. Walker, doggedly. It would only be robbing you, Mr. Woolsey. 7 more detainers have come in, while my wife has been away. I must go through the court now. But, he added in a whisper to the tailor, my good sir, my debts of honor are sacred, and if you will have the goodness to lend me the £20, I pledge you my word as a gentleman to return it when I come out of quad. It is probable that Mr. Woolsey declined this, for, as soon as he was gone, Walker, in a tremendous fury, began cursing his wife for dawdling 3 hours on the road. Hi the deuce, ma'am, didn't you take a cab? Roared he, when he heard as he had walked to Bond Street. Those writs have only been in half an hour, and I might have been off but for you. Oh, Howard, said she, didn't you take, didn't I give you my last shilling? And fell back and wept again more bitterly than ever. Well, love, said her amiable husband, turning rather red, never mind, it wasn't your fault. It is but going through the court. It is no great odds. I forgive you. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.